I was reading this week, and I always find it interesting where I find myself reading and different aspects of life or just different things going on. And as I would read, different terms come up. I have this word game that I play on my phone, and you have to, it's supposed to keep your mind sharp if you're over 55. So that I bought it, I bought into that, you know, and I'm always wondering that the more words I spell, I uncover strawberries. And then strawberries get fed to unicorns. And I'm like, how does this help a 55-year-old stay sharp in his brain? But anyway, I'm spelling words, and I'm spelling words I do not know. I mean, I'm just basically guessing and fill in the blank. You know, it's kind of like a crossword puzzle, and I'm trying to fill in these words. And once in a while, I'll get to a word, and I finally guess the word right, or I get enough helps to get the word. But then I'll shrink that down, and I'll go to the dictionary because I want to know what that word means. I don't want to just complete the task. I want to know what the word means. And so even as I read and I come across a term that I don't know or it piques my interest, many times I'll go and just help myself understand what that term means. I understand what the words together, this combination of words might mean to me, but I want to know what it means in the dictionary, what it means. And a lot of times I'm right, a lot of times I'm not. But the word I come across my desk this week was profit erosion. And I found that very interesting. I know what erosion is, and I know what profit is. But I found it interesting that they put those two words together. And so it intrigued me. It invited me in to go and try to understand what the concept was and why they were using the term profit erosion. And the term refers to the decreasing of profits, right? Decreasing profits, which would make normal sense. Erosion of the soil is the decreasing of the soil, right? It's the erosion is to take away. The profit is the growth or the gain. In the erosion is the breakdown of your gain or of your profit, of your growth. That's what it means. And it's interesting that it goes on to say this occurs not simply because of the decreased sales, but sometimes because the cost of producing the product has increased as well. And so in addition to decreased sales, you have a profit erosion. Maybe you have no decreased sales in numbers, but your cost of production is up, and therefore you have a profit erosion. I found it. I don't know if I'll remember that, you know, 10 years from now. I don't know. But I found it very interesting. And it went on to say this as I studied out this profit erosion. Profit erosion can sneak up on you. And it says there has to be a constant assessment to making sure you're making a profit or that you're growing or that you're moving forward. There's got to be this constant assessment being done. Because it can just sneak up on you. All of a sudden, the cost of something is a nickel more, a dime more, and a penny more. And all of a sudden, if you don't take a constant assessment of what's going on, you're selling the product for the same thing on the other end. And you're selling as many as you have in the past, but you're having profit erosion. That's what it means. Now, this is not a money market, you know, message. But I found that interesting that you had to have this constant assessment being done to make sure that you're making a profit. So that led me to this. I wonder if there's such a thing as spiritual erosion. And I wonder if it would follow the same track. And so the spiritual erosion can sneak up on you. Now, if it's dwindling away my spiritual strength, my journey strength, my faith strength can break down and dwindle away and be sucked out into the sea, so to speak. Is that a reality? And I spent some time just pondering that point this week. Can there be such a thing as spiritual erosion? And I think that there can be. I come on the other side, and my knee-jerk reaction is to say, certainly there is. But I want to understand that a little bit more. Can it just sneak up on you? There has to be, is this true? There has to be a constant assessment to make sure you're making a profit spiritually. that you're growing, that you're moving forward. And so that goes to the next step, is their spiritual profits. Now P-R-O-F-I-T-S. I know there's spiritual profits, okay, with a P-H in the middle. I get that. But is there spiritual profits? Is there a growth? Is there something that God wants to give me or me to hang on to or me to make a profit, so to speak, or to grow in my faith? And sometimes it builds, right? It builds on what you had last week or what you had the week before. Just so you know, this is not what I had yesterday. This is what I had a few months ago. And so just like this builds on what I eat today, will build on this. So my spiritual strength comes, and God says, I've given you that so that you can build on it. But if there is an erosion of your spiritual life, and then I try to give you something else, and what I gave you before is gone, and it doesn't find its plug-in spot. Am I making sense this morning? It doesn't find its spot to sit on because it has eroded away from you. So I asked the question this morning, do we believe this morning that God wants me, you, us to profit? Now, this is not a claim it, name it type of message. I am not switching the gospel into prosperity. And the more prosperity you have and the more godly you are, that's a bunch of hogwash. But does God want you to grow? Does God want you to prosper, so to speak, in the spiritual life, in your spiritual journey, in your faith journey? Does God want you to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? And more solid and more solid, whether we're a young lady or whether we're an old guy. Does God want me to grow bigger and bigger and bigger? Psalm 84, one of my favorite passages, says this: blessed are those whose strength is in you, you who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage as they pass through life. As they pass through the valley of Baca, that's really as they pass through life, with all its challenges, all its uncertainties, all its downfalls, all its mud, all its garbage, as they pass through life, they make it a place of springs, and autumn rains also cover it with pools, or they bring life. They bring life to life. It says those who are walking out their faith with God brings life to life. And look what it says. They go from strength to strength till they appear before God in Zion. They get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until one day we're in some sort of box up here, laid down. Everybody said, oh, he looks so good. Just so you know, I don't care how good I look, I'm good. Because I met God in Zion. But until that time, God says, I want you to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And what I gave you yesterday, and what I gave you last week, and what I gave you last year, and what I gave you 5 years ago, that is so you can build on what I'm going to give you today. So don't let it erode away. It can come up on you. Without even being aware, spiritual erosion can catch you by surprise. And I do believe that God wants you to be stronger and stronger if you're a young lady or if you're a white-bearded guy. To be honest, I'm not there all the time. So I wonder if there is spiritual erosion in my life. Some days I don't feel stronger than I was last year. And sometimes it says, oh, it's just the day, it's just the culture, it's just this, it's just that. Maybe it's just some spiritual erosion. That life has beat against me and I've eroded away some of my spiritual journey. We talk about it, oh, I have, you know, I do really well, and then I kind of go through this lull, and I do really well, and I go through this lull, and I do And we talk about those types of things. I wonder if that is spiritual erosion. That's my argument today. Do I need an assessment of me? You can push the button. Do I need an honest assessment of me? There's a group of people in Acts chapter 2 that found themselves with an honest look at themselves. They found themselves in Acts 2, they heard something, and they found themselves with a pretty clear look of who they were. And it rattled them. They were facing an assessment of life, and they found out that they weren't doing very well. And it rattled them to the core. And so I want to take those experiences of those people, and I'm wondering if I could put together just this honest assessment of me. I'm not good. I don't have any wooden box that you're going to come and sit in half of it, me and the other half. It's you and God. This is not for public stuff. This is for you and God in the closet. An honest assessment of me, God. Because, God, I know that you want me to be stronger and stronger and stronger until I appear before God in Zion. And you want me to go through life and add life to life. And I know some days that it doesn't feel like I'm doing that. And it's got to be, I'm wondering, I'm going to take a fair evaluation of myself. I'm going to go just like these people in Acts 2. And I'm going to stand before you, God. And I'm going to ask these questions to you, God. Because there's no way I want to give up what I got yesterday. There's no way I want to give up what I got last week. There's no way I want to give up what I got in group on Monday night. So we're going to look through this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to pull out some of these experiences that these people had. In Acts 2 and 37, it says this, "And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" They were cut to the heart. They had a heart examination, and they found themselves wanting. They found themselves, it's a beautiful picture that when God, when you and God and I and God, we get into the closet together and we start to do business with God, and my heart feels cut. It's never just a cut my heart. It's never just a cut me down. It's to open my heart so God can put something in. It's not to undo us. It's to do us up. It's to make us stronger. So when these people are cut to the heart, it's exactly where God wants them, because God's going to open up his kingdom and God's going to open up his throne room and he's going to pour out some stuff on them and it's going to transform their lives. So they were cut to the heart. A set of words and questions to keep me profiting, so to speak. Just so you know, this message, I kick off today with a 12-week challenge. April 16th, I'm bringing this message again. I'm expecting for the next 12 weeks, we're going to walk through this. Not as a corporate body that gets together and asks each other, but you and God on a regular basis, morning after morning, and asking yourselves with these words and these questions, just to ensure that there's no, just to warn against any spiritual erosion that might be going on in my life, because I don't want to give it up. Do you know how hard God worked and how hard Jesus worked and how we worked together to get where I'm at today? I don't want the world to erode it away. And so April 16th, we're coming back and we're going to do another evaluation of ourselves of how we're doing. That's why this sermon outline is a sermon outline, and that's why it has blanks to fill in, and that's why it's online with and ready to go, and that's why I have cards with, and you can cheat if you want to, but I have some cards at the end with the lines, the blanks already filled in, because I'm this committed to this 12-week challenge, because I do not want to have spiritual erosion in my life. I want to be cut to the heart and let God pour into me what he wants to pour into me. And Peter replied in verse 38, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. What do we do, God? What do we do? You need to repent. So the question on the paper is this, is the word is repent. You can push the button, is repent. And I'm going to go down through these words. And I'm asking you to do this every morning. And just asking, is there a change I need to make? That repent in that passage of Scripture, it says this. It's the repent on steroids. There's three different words for repent. It's all of them combined together. Change your mind, change your purpose, and change your life. Is there a change I need to make, God? I am here. I want to repent, God. Show me a change that I need to make. Where I need to stop thinking the way I'm thinking because my thinking is stinking. Change my purpose, God. Change my purpose, God. Change my life, God. Where do I need to change? Where do I need to listen to you? The people that were cut to the heart said, God, what do we do? He said, you're going the wrong way. The first, you need to repent. You need to change your thinking. You need to change your heart. You need to change your purpose. You need to change your life. The beautiful part of it is, if God's showing you the change, he's ready to pour into you what it takes to make the change. But hang on. Hang on. If you stand before God on a regular basis over the next 12 weeks and you ask yourself, God, I don't want to lose any of the spiritual foundation I have, and I don't want to lose anything that I've gained. I don't want to lose that verse I read yesterday. I don't want to lose what I heard last week in a message. I don't want to lose it, God. Is there a change I need to make? Is there a thinking I need to change, God? And then let him answer you. Am I making sense this morning? I figure if you're good, it'll take you about 8 minutes to go through this. I'll leave any other minutes beyond that up to God. Because I think there's change I need to make in my thinking. And when my heart is broken and my heart is cut, and I'm ready to stand before God with a simple question, is there a change I need to make, God? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be forgiven. So forgiveness, so where does forgiveness play out in my life today? Push the button. Where does the forgiveness play out in my life today? Do you ever ask God that? God, where do I need to be forgiven today? Did you ever just spend time with God and say, God, where does my mind need to change today? What change do I need to make? But God, where do I need to be forgiven? See, we go into the presence of God and we think we're good. God says, I love you, but you're kind of sideways, if not upside down. But God, where do I need to be forgiven today? Have you ever just asked God that? Or maybe the question is, who do I need to forgive today? Where does forgiveness play out in my life today? Who do I need to forgive, God? And when that person comes into mind or that situation comes into your mind, don't wipe it away, because your heart might be cut, but God's ready to do something. That might jerk an old bad emotion in you, but God didn't do that to screw you up. He did that so he could help you get on the other side of that. Where does forgiveness play out in my life today? Repentance, where do I need to change? Verse 38 goes on to say this, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. The next one is follow. Holy Spirit, are you leading me today? See, just so you know, I get up in the morning and I know. I got my day planned. God, if you can work with this planner, you and I are going to do business today. God says, man, you got to, why don't you give me your daily planner? No wonder you're upside down. Where do I need to follow today? Holy Spirit, do you ever just talk to the Holy Spirit? Say, Holy Spirit, where are you leading me today? See, the Holy Spirit, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit has given you life so that you can walk through the valley of Baca. Don't you think he doesn't know where you should go? Says to the guy in the mirror. I'm not trying to take up 45 minutes of our time. I think this is a fair assessment of me. And I think this is going to keep me from experiencing spiritual erosion. And that's going to keep me from being frustrated and keep me from making all kinds of mistakes in my life, whether I'm a young lady or a guy with a white beard. It's going to keep me from making all kinds of missteps in my life. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. And I get excited about a whole body of believers who are saying, God, where do I need to change today? God, where does forgiveness play out in my life today? Holy Spirit, where do I need to follow you today? Transform your prayers by just spending time with God. The promise, look at 37:39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for all who the Lord will, Lord our God will call. With many words, and he warned them and pleaded with them. Peter preached, please, New Lifers, please. Please go this way. I can hear Peter just say, please, just repent. Please, let forgiveness come into your life. Please, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Please, they warned them and he pleaded with them. Those that accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And God's not done with them. And we know this passage maybe fairly well, but he said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we know that the apostles' teaching is the word of God. So here's the next word and the next question. Word. How is my time not in the word, but with the word? I chose that word particularly for this moment. Really, I'm more interested, and I think God is, how's your time with the Word? Well, I read and I read and I read. I'm not asking that. I'm asking with the Word. How's your time with the Word? And I think we can get up every morning, and I think we can ask God, how's my time with the Word this morning? And just this fair assessment of myself, perhaps one verse that sinks deep into my life and deep into my heart and deep and deep and deep. You can read the scripture, and that's really cool, and you can read it all together, and that's really cool, and you can start in Genesis, and you'll get a little confused by the time you hit like Isaiah, but you can do that. Or you could say, I'm going to get into the Word, and I'm going to be with the Word today, and I'm going to get one verse, if no other. I'm not leaving here without one verse. God, I can't, for crying out loud, if your Facebook post is longer than that, I don't even read it.
Come on now.
If it says down to the bottom, continue, I never push it. You shortened it up. One word, one verse. God, I want my time with the Word. I want to come out of there with one piece of cake with peanut butter icing. Now there's a Freudian slip. I want to come out of this time with my Word. How's my time in the Word? Perhaps one verse sinking deep, one verse hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God, one verse that I'll speak out loud, one verse that I cannot get out of my head. Have you ever had the trouble not getting something out of your head, or I can't get it out of my head? How come it doesn't happen with the Scripture? And maybe we can just evaluate and assess, because I'm not giving in to spiritual erosion. How's my time with the Word? And he goes on to say in that Acts 2 and 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The fellowship is the common bond, the believers being built together by love. They devoted themselves to one another. Jesus says this in John 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Can you imagine walking into this room just on a Sunday morning and finding out that you're in the middle of the disciples of Jesus Christ just because of their love for one another? Not because of the preaching, not because of the worship, not because of the song joy, not because of the ranting and raving of a pastor, but because you stepped into the love of Christ. You were into this poor hole. All of you, all of us. It's not just up to me. It's up to us. And can you imagine? They stepped into the presence of people who love each other. 1 Corinthians says this, 12 and 7 says this, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Just look at your hands for a minute. Just so you know you have them. Nobody did it. This is interactive. Look at your hands. Do you see it? Do you see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your hands? Everyone in this room has a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in their hands. And what is it used for? What's the words? The common what? The common good. You know who it's for? It's for Kyle. Can you imagine walking into a room where everybody is saturated with love for one another and everybody is carrying the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in their hands, just waiting to lay hands on someone else, just waiting to hug someone else, just waiting to love on someone else? Can you imagine what the room would feel like? So fellowship, where do I fit in the church? And just so you know, other readings I've done is, it's up there in the top five reasons people leave a church is because they don't know where they're fit. And I read and read and read about how I'm supposed to fix that. I've just come to the conclusion, I can't fix it. You do. Because we ask God every single day, where do I fit in the church? You've given me the ability to love, and you've put a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my hands. Not just for me. As a matter of fact, it's not for you. I put a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your hands for the common good, so you can give it to someone else. A fair assessment of where we are, where you are, where I am at. Where do I fit in the church? And it goes on to say this in that passage of Scripture again. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And I've always seen that as the proclamation of the communion that we celebrate. Which means the remembrance of Jesus. And so I've used this word this day on this here. Jesus, where do I need to hear you? What do I need to hear you say? Have you ever asked that? Have you ever asked that? Just a fair evaluation so no spiritual erosion is happening, because I'm trying to grow stronger and stronger, and that's what God wants me to do. And I feel so weak at the knees. And I'm not saying weakness is a sign of ungodliness. I'm not saying that. But you know, I know what I mean by the strength that I think that God wants me to have, and it's just not there. And I think just hearing what Jesus, what do you want? What do I need you to hear? What do I need to hear you say? And maybe he would say this: push the button. You must be born again. That's what he told one guy when he was doing a fair evaluation of himself. He said, you must be born again. Maybe that's what he's going to tell you. You just need to be born again. God, I've been going to church and I read the Bible. I'm not talking about that. He says, I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about just trusting me and saying, Jesus, I need to be born again. Will you give me new birth? Is that your heart this morning? Just let me stop for a minute. And just so you know, I think the enemy would like me to stop right at this moment, because I just bit, I think, a chunk right out of my tongue. I'm not going to stop. What if he says that? What if he says that and you say, well, I've been going to church all my life. And he said, that's not what I'm asking. I'm just saying you need to be born again. You know who he said that to? To a guy who had religion right in a box, and he knew exactly how to do life and how to do life and how to do the church, so to speak. He said, you need to be born again. What if he says this? I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. What if he says that? What if he says that to you? What if he says that to me? What if he says this to you? Push the button. What if he says this? I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Can you imagine some morning when you're saying, Jesus, what do I need you to hear you to say? What do I need to hear you say to me today? And he says, this is what I need you to hear. This is the day for one of those greater things. Saddle up, son. This is one of those days when you're going to do greater things. You don't think you can. This is the day. You're going to do greater things today. What do you need to hear Jesus say? Push the button. Stop grumbling. He said that to a group of people in the Bible. I said, he tells me that one time, will you just chill? You're over here doing all this, and you just need to be doing this. What if he says, this happens so that the work of God might be displayed in your life today? What do you need to hear Jesus say? I've allowed this in your life so that I can demonstrate my power. What if he says, come, follow me? What if he says, you can't serve both God and money? Give it up. It's spiritually eroding you. What if he says this? Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. What if he says this? Step out of the boat. What do you need to hear Jesus say? It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Just simple questions. What do I need to talk to God about? With God about? What do I need to talk with God about? What am I seeking? Do you ever ask God what to pray for? God, what do I need? Here I am, God. I got a whole laundry list over here, and I got a whole bunch of stuff over here, but what should I be talking with you about? You see, we go in there when we turn into all King James. We think we got some kind of prayer to thee and thou, and we, it's like, God says, who is that? See, I want my prayer life just to start with God saying, God, what do we need to talk about today? What do I need to talk with God about today? 43 and 45, we'll talk more about some of this stuff on the 16th of April. I think, anyway, I have no sermon planned. I'm hoping God has one planned for that time. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles and all the believers together, and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to one, gave to anyone as he had need, caring for each other. They were caring for each other. They were seeing the suffering and of others and having a desire to help. And I thought this was very key, because this is definitely loving people. Compassion is the word. If you ever ask God, how's my compassion level? If we listen to the world and we listen to the TV and we listen to the radio and we listen to that stuff, our compassion level is just going to be sucked dry. And just so you know, when you're low on compassion, your family knows you're low on compassion. Because once you get low on compassion, because those whoever you want to call those in the world are driving you crazy and you don't care. And you get empty with compassion, you're still empty when you go home. So how's my compassion level? Do you ever low for hydraulic fluid in a front end loader on a tractor? So what is wrong with this thing? It won't pick up. You know, that's what you sound like when you're low for compassion. How's your day? God, how's my compassion? What's my compassion level like? Every day, let me finish with this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts and praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. The gospel is the final one. Where can I share the good news about Jesus? Did you ever just ask that? You know, statistically, that there is around 4 or 5% of faithful believers in Jesus Christ that will ever share their faith. 95 to 96% of those who are active in their faith will never tell another person about Jesus. And I'm not saying get out the Bible. I'm not saying carry Romans Road with you, whatever. Just tell them about Jesus. Acts 5 and 20 is the verse for new life, and this is where we get our name. But go stand in the temple courts. You know who's speaking to who? It's the angel speaking to Peter, who's just been released from prison. He says, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. You ever just ask God, where do you want me to share Jesus? Where do you want me to share Jesus? Where do you want me to share the good news about Jesus today? So repent and forgiveness and follow and word and fellowship and hear and prayer and compassion and gospel and the questions that go along with them. Get ready for the 16th of April. But just so you know, get ready for the 23rd of January. Because I truly believe if you'll just leave these in your prayer closet, taped to the dash in your truck, just go through this on a regular basis. I'm going through it. I believe it's going to transform me. I believe it's going to keep any spiritual erosion from wasting away from me. And I believe that Psalm 84 is going to be a reality in my life, that I will be stronger and stronger and stronger until the day I lay in a pine box, until I meet God in Zion. How about a new life? I plead with you. I beg you. The whole sermon outline where the blanks filled in is going to be online. Caleb, you can go to the door now. Caleb has 35 copies. But the blank's already filled in. Because I know some of you moms have been really busy during this service. And trying to write words and take care of kids is a challenge. So if you need one with the words already filled in, Caleb has it. It's online as well. Handwritten. Let's start new life. Let's start with a self-evaluation so that the spiritual erosions can stop in our lives. Stand with me today. Jesus, I just want to say thank you. And Lord, I know that I want to, if there's one here that you're saying to right now, you need to be born again. And Father, I just pray that they would open their heart and receive a new birth from you. It takes nothing more than saying yes to Jesus. So is that you today? Just say yes to Jesus. Say yes, Jesus, I want to be born again. And Father, maybe there's some in this room that need to be forgiven and need to change. We all do. I get that. So help us, Lord, as we navigate through this self-assessment so that we can be spiritually strong and we can go from strength to strength to strength to strength until we appear before God in Zion. And as we pass through the valley of life with all its hiccups and good times and bad, that we will leave it a place of life, because life will fall off of us. Surely goodness and mercy. So, Father, help us. Father, we're going to look forward to not only the 16th of April, but to the 23rd of January. Taped in our trucks, I can see these things all over. In my Bible, on the kitchen table, stuck to the refrigerator. On the dash of my truck, at my work desk. Father, here we go. Help us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing day.